Christ is man rejected and despised. Wounded, stricken, marred, not recognized. Silent like a lamb is led to slaughter. O daughters of Jerusalem, surely he has borne our griefs and sorrows, but we esteemed him stricken by God. Chastisement for our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. But the grave could not hold him. It's rolled away the stone. He's risen victorious. Yeshua was made known. Sin and death have lost their sting. But the grave could not hold him. No, he's rolled away the stone. He's risen victorious. Yeshua was made known. Sin and death have lost. Who is this man with eyes like flames of fire? His countenance shines like the burning sun. His voice is like the sound of many waters, O daughters of Jerusalem. He's seated on the right hand of the Father, and from his mouth proceeds a two-edged sword. Who can endure the power of his presence? And who can stand when he appears? But the grave could not hold him. He's rolled away the stone. He's risen victorious. Yeshua was made known. Sin and death have lost their sting. But the grave could not hold him. Risen victorious, Yeshua was made known. Sin and death have lost the
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Thank you so much, all of you, for giving this privilege to me to speak to you. So let's start. Deuteronomy 3. Actually, no. Let me start with the Haftarah, what you call Haftorah, or the portion from the prophets, okay? Isaiah 40. Let me read it to you. First in Hebrew, because it sounds great. Not all of it. Isaiah 40. Verse 1. Nachamu, nachamu ami, yomar Elohechem. Dabru al lev Yerushalayim, vekir'u eleha. Ki mal'a tzeva'a, ki nirtza avona. Ki lakcha miyad Adonai, כפליים בכל חטותיה. כל קורא במדבר פנו דרך אדוני, ישרו בערבה מסילה לאלוהינו, כל גיא נשא וכל הר וגבעה ישפלו, והיה יעקב למישור ורחסים לבקעה. I forgot that I'm in America and I was going to finish it all in Hebrew. So forgive me, let's go to the English now. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says the Lord, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. that their warfare is ended, that their iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying. It's not the voice of one crying in the wilderness, by the way. It's like this. The voice of one crying, comma. In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And we are going to speak about the wilderness today. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Hallelujah. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness. In Hebrew, kol chasdo, all its grace, is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen? Now, if you read, and I'm sure it's a Messianic congregation, you for sure all read the portion of the week, Va'etchanan, and I pleaded, or actually in Hebrew, I begged. I really was on my knees. Oh, please, 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 yeah? You noticed that it involves the Torah, the giving of the Torah from Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, right? The Ten Commandments are repeated there. And Moses, of course, continues with the story of the Exodus, etc., etc. And you know that the rabbis, when they wanted to pick up a portion, from the prophets or Haftarah, they always try to fit it, its contents, with what they read that very week from the Torah. You know, they are all related. So, what a strange Haftarah for this prophet, for this portion. Did you notice it? Why do we need comfort? Because Moses needed comfort. Right? Moses needed a lot of comfort. But we will get back to Moses later on. What about us today? Do we need some comfort? Do we need some nechama? Guess what? It's not in a condemning way. I don't want to put you down. But soon we will need more and more nechama. Times are coming, my friends, that we will need more and more of God's comfort. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says the Lord. And it will be our job to comfort each other. And to comfort specifically and especially our people. You, Jews, no problem with it. But you, Gentiles, who have been grafted in, welcome to the club called Israel. Yeah? We will need to comfort our people in the flesh, those who do not know Messiah. And why is that? I'm sure I don't need to convince you that the world is going down the hill. Now, the world is just following after Israel, because Israel is the center of the world, if you didn't know. It's not America. Okay? So when Israel goes down, it sucks all the world down to the pit. When Israel is blessed, all the surroundings are blessed. So why do we need so much comfort? Because Israel is entering a phase or a stage or a part in her walk. I know it sounds strange, but please hold on with me, okay? Your rabbi gave me till 2 p.m. But I promise I will not take till 2 p.m. Oops, actually in this Torah portion... We Jews are the same, huh? Actually, I should not lie today at least because it says, I shall not lie. I mean, it's one of the commandments. Abba, sorry. But I'm joking. My beloved, so he did not give it till 2 p.m. But guess what? I'm not sure I will be done 12 p.m. So please, patience with me, okay? He told me you need to be finished by 12. I did not tell. I said yes, but in my heart I thought, it for sure means Israeli time. So I'm going to take some Israeli time with your permission. I mean, can he tell me no in front of you? No. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the spirit now. My beloved, Israel is going to enter very soon the very last phase, you say, or, you know, the term, okay? In her walk with, are you ready? With our Messiah. What? You're talking about people like you, Messianic Jews, right, Rami? No. I'm talking about Israel in the flesh. Whether they know it or do not know it, does not matter. All flesh is like grass anyway. Anyway, God cannot trust us. This is new for you. Did you look at the mirror of your heart today before you came here? Did you put, before you put lipstick on your face, did you put some lipstick of His Spirit on your heart this morning? Because it needs lots of lipstick and, you know, right? My beloved Israel, she doesn't know it yet. She is walking in her Messiah's footsteps. Many are wondering, how crazy is this world that we are living in, right? I mean, nothing makes sense anymore. Good is called evil, and evil is called good. All levels of life. You agree with me? You want some examples? Gaza Strip. You know, we are attacked by thousands and thousands of rockets for 8 long years, with casualties. And many wounded people, and then we self-defense, now we go in, and all the world, jumping on us. The flotilla, those peacemakers, you know what I mean? Everything doesn't make sense, Obama. My beloved, nothing makes sense, by the way. Not just to my Obama, but Benjamin Netanyahu. Okay, nothing makes sense. What's happening? God's word is being fulfilled in front of our very eyes. So what am I talking about that Israel is walking in her Messiah's footsteps? In Messiah's earthly ministry, there were 3 stages, 3 sections, 3 parts, 3 phases, okay? The first one I call the hidden one, H-I-D-D-E-N, in case you don't understand my... The other night, you know, I spoke and people thought that I'm calling Messiah heathen. And they looked at me, what? Messiah was not heathen. I meant hidden. Yeah? To hide something. To cover. To put under the table. Now, am I okay now? And if you think you have a problem with my accent, it means you need to improve yours. Okay.
Your English is better than my Hebrew, so don't worry about it.
I was shaking. I thought he was going to rebuke me already. I mean, he did not... Listen, I'm still in my introduction and he's taking me aside. Where was I? Now it's your fault. Bring me back to track. Heathen! Not hidden, hidden. Beloved, Messiah's first part of Messiah's earthly ministry... Actually, I should not call it even ministry, but earthly life was hidden from the eyes of people. Did people, and it took from age 0 or 1 hour, all the way to his baptism in his mikveh in the Jordan River. Are you with me? Does anyone know in this period of time, 30 years, yeah? Does anyone know that Messiah is walking on planet Earth? The savior of the earth or of the world? No, nobody knows. He was hardly known in his own hometown, right? And if he was known, special boy, you know, at the age of 12, you know, he's mindful of his father's business, right? But you know, even then, even in the temple, nobody knew that who he was. You agree with me? He was hidden from the sight. Good? Phase number 2 was the blessing one, or the blessed one. Wherever Yeshua walked, whatever he said, whomever he touched, it was a blessing. He penetrated hearts of people. He gave comfort, hope. He healed the sick, the blind, etc., etc. He was a blessing. Nevertheless, there was one more section, the third one, which was what I call, that's why, by the way, my lesson, the theme of my teachings on this trip, specific trip, is turning our faces towards Jerusalem. Yeshua, from Matthew 16, we will deal with it soon. Matthew 16, he makes 180 degrees towards Jerusalem, and from there starts the third phase, the third section in his earthly ministry. You're still with me? And this third part included more and more people getting away from him, including his disciples, some of his disciples. Yeah? You know that he did not have only 12 disciples. He had many more. Okay? Many start to desert him. He is not liked anymore. And eventually he is pushed to Jerusalem, and there, crucify, crucify! And he is crucified. And on the third day, he raised from the dead, and after 40 days, of course, you know, he ascended to his right place, at the right hand of the Father. Okay, good, friends? Those are the three phases. Now, did you know that Israel and their Messiah are almost synonymous? I always have a hard time in this word, synonymous? Similar, yeah? Israel and the Messiah are almost identical in the scriptures. Did you know it? Now, by two or three witnesses, everything will be established, right? I'm going to give you four or five, just to be so you are convinced. Before Messiah came to planet Earth, before he was incarnated in human flesh, who was called God's firstborn? Israel. In the Bible, Adam is not called God's firstborn. Israel is called God's firstborn. Are you with me? Read Exodus. Who is called out of Egypt? Israel, right? Who is called to be a light to the nations? Israel. No, already three, right? Who is called the servant of the Lord? Eved Adonai. Israel. Did you know that all the four are descriptions of Messiah? He is God's firstborn. He is taken out of Egypt. He is called to be the light of the world, right? And eventually he is the servant of God. And you know, you want a fifth one? One of the names of Messiah in the book of Isaiah is Israel. So you see what I mean? Whether they like it or not, they are following their Messiah's footsteps because they cannot be departed. Yes, they rejected him. But guess what? He's still following the pattern that he set before them. Mainly after what they said almost at the cross. When Pontius Pilate judged him, tried Yeshua, he was convinced that this Yeshua is innocent, remember? He took a bowl of water, he washed his hands, and said, I'm clean. My hands are clean from this, you know, the blood of this man. What did they say? Let his blood be on us, and our children, remember? They did not know what they're saying, what they're talking. They immediately took his role upon themselves. As he took their role upon themselves. You know, all those descriptions that we said, God's firstborn, light to the nations, they did not achieve it, right? So he came and he took it upon himself. He is the light, etc., etc., right? But guess what? It goes also on the other hand. When they say, let his blood be upon us, they actually took upon themselves Messiah's role to the world. What am I talking about? You remember the three phases? The hidden one, the blessing one, and the crucifixion. Crucify, crucify. Shortly after Yeshua's ascension to heaven, to his right place, the right hand of the Father, Israel is going into a number one phase in Messiah's life. Hidden. They are dispersed all over the world. Nobody, did you hear about the Jews? They don't have a king. They don't have a government. Nothing. Persecuted. Dispersed. Are you with me? Nobody knows about them. They are unfelt, unseen, so to speak. Yeah? My beloved, in the late 1900s, you know, modern Zionism, they're like resurrected to life. And they are coming and they become a blessing. Like Yeshua's second pace. In medicine, medical, yeah? High tech, you know, Nobel Prizes. I mean, the Jews became a blessing to all the world. Not to speak about Israel, which was a swampy, neglected land, piece of land, real estate. They come and they bloom it. You saw it when you were with me. Wonderful. Israel did not look like it looks today, 70 years ago. They are a blessing not towards themselves and their neighborhoods, but all over the world. You know how many Israeli scientists are desired in the United States of America? Do you know how many high-tech people are desired and wanted? Please come, come, we will pay you whatever you want in the Silicon Valley in California. We are a blessing now. Are you ready? You cannot follow Yeshua's footsteps. Just and decide for yourself, okay, till now it's enough. Let's stay with the blessing. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you are going to follow his footsteps all the way through the third phase. And the world today is pushing Israel to Golgotha, to Jerusalem. And the world today says, crucify, crucify, to Messiah's nation. Are you with me? I want you to understand the big picture, otherwise you will be confused. Oh, it's not fair. Look, the Jews are so good, and all the nations are against them. Of course! Because Yeshua was so good. He was the sucker of the world. And Israel are becoming a sucker nation. Everybody beats them. Everybody blames them. And they don't know it. Tell them what I tell you now. You don't know it, but you are following your Messiah's footsteps. You are going to be crucified. But guess what? Good news. There is no resurrection. Real resurrection without crucifixion. There is no resurrection again without crucifixion. How many of you are nurses or physicians here? Do we have a few? An example there? When you start to work, resuscitated, how do you say, a dead man, yeah? When you start to work on him. Resuscitated, I never can say this word. You know what I mean. Achya'a in Hebrew. When do you start to lachyot a man like this, only or a woman, only when they are dead? If they are alive, you don't do it, right? The natural speaks about the spiritual. Israel was taken, you know, like Ezekiel 37, right? The dry bones, my beloved, are you familiar with it? They are brought from the four corners of the earth. Hallelujah, we can say. But we should not be ignorant that they are gathered into their homeland in order to follow their Messiah's footsteps, in order to receive him eventually. So the good news is that as Messiah was resurrected, they are going to be resurrected. But they are going to be crucified. Hardships are coming on us. Wars and terrible times, the great tribulation, what you call or I call Tzarat Yaakov, the trouble of Jacob, is almost befalling us. We are now entering this phase. And don't worry about Obama or Ahmadinejad. They are part of the game. But they are in a terrible situation. They don't even know that they are only cards in God's hands. Now, my beloved, what has it all to do with our portion? Does it? It does. But before, go with me, please, to Matthew 16. What's the time, my brother? What's the time? Oh, look at this. They put this for me. Let me put it in Yeshua's number one face. Hidden. No. Matthew 16. You see, at least I wake them up from time to time, you know. Matthew 16. Verse 13. When Yeshua came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they say to him, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some others Jeremiah, or other of the prophets, or one of the prophets. He said to him, but who do you say that I am? Beloved, look at me. Everybody, oops. I'm not going to punish you. My beloved, who do you say that Yeshua is? Don't hurry up to say. Okay? Because it has nothing, this confession has nothing to do with dogmas, church dogmas or creeds. I believe in God. I believe in His Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. So what if you believe? Also the demons believe in it. Show me what you believe. Show me by your doing, by your deeds, by your lifestyle, by the conduct of your life, for God's sake. Stop blah, blah, blahing what you believe in. Okay? Show me your faith by your lifestyle, by how you live, not only on Shabbat morning. Yeah, but actually more than on Shabbat morning, on Yom Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, or the other days, okay, of the week. Beloved, so whom do you think Yeshua is? Don't be quick to answer it. Answer it after I continue a while, okay, for a little bit. Okay, so who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yeshua answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, etc. But my Father who is in heaven, and I also say to you that you are Peter, Petros, actually in Greek, and on this Petra, rock, huge rock, which is Peter's confession, by the way, not Peter himself, but Peter's confession, I will build my church. The church has been built since then, for the last 2,000 years, on this very confession. Whom do you think I am? The Son, the Messiah, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Keep it in mind. Okay. But let's go now to verse 21. From that time, Yeshua began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. Did you notice the word must? M-U-S-T, or in Hebrew, Chayav. I must go to Jerusalem. Yeshua understood that he cannot stay in phase number two. In order to be resurrected and get the glory from God, yeah? And get the right over us, by the way, because till he died, he didn't have any right on us. Okay? My friends, he needed to be crucified. He understood it. Do we who sit here this morning understand this very truth? That we as well. What does it mean? Soon we will see from Moses' life. Beloved, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Now look at the funniest, in my opinion, funniest verse in all the New Testament writings. Peter took him, Yeshua, aside and began to what? Rebuke him. Can you imagine? Rebuke is rebuke. Far be it from you, Lord. This should not happen to you. Can you imagine? This is rebuke. He didn't put a nice Sunday smile or say, oh no, excuse me, Lord. May it be far away. No! Rebuke is rebuke. And we Israelis know about rebuke. We talk loud, you know, we are very, yeah, not shy as me, you know, I'm not a good example. Okay, anyway, just checked if you're still awake. My beloved, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen. Now listen to verse 23. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Why? You are an offense to me. What? Ooh. What words, huh? You are an offense to me. You know that many in that day will come to Yeshua and tell him, in your name we cast demons. In your name we healed. In your name, I don't know what, probably they will say also we spoke in tongues and even have had the interpretation. Yeah. And he will look at them and say, may I see your passport, please? Or your ID, your license, please. I need, because I don't know you. Who are you? Ooh. Why? Because They have become an offense to Yeshua. What in the world am I talking about? How can you be an offense to Yeshua and cast demons in his name? I'm talking in his name, not in the devil's name. I'm talking real power from Yeshua and still not being known by him. Still being offensed. How come? It's not so complicated. Let's read it. What does it mean, an offense? For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Beloved, most believers, most Christians, especially, you know what? Sorry, Abba, not most. Actually, not at all most, but the Western Christians, the Western world, and I include the 51st state of America, Israel, yeah? They call it the 50. My beloved, most of us westernized are living lifestyle which is, are you ready? An offense to God. Why? What am I talking about? We hold to the opinion that in first of all, that salvation is a McDonald's fix, fast food, or it's a pill, Tylenol, you know, when you have headache. Oh, I have headache, it's called sin. Oh, sinner prayer, oh Lord, forgive me. Hallelujah! Let's go to the bar. My beloved, and most of them think that salvation means all blessings. Hallelujah, I'm blessed. Hallelujah, I have a better paid job. I was just raised. Yeah, I bought a new car. It has nothing to do with the process of your salvation, the opposite. Rabbi, why did you bring me this man to tell us this? It's terrible. Terrible for our ears. Yes, it is terrible for all of our ears because the old man, the Adamic man in us, the one which should have been dead when we buried him in baptism, in mikveh, raises his ugly face all the time. And if this first Adamic nature does not like suffering. Come on, I want to show, you know, raise your hands, those who like suffering. I, of course, will tie it like this because otherwise I will be an hypocrite. Somebody like suffering? Come on. None. Nobody. We do not like suffering, but we do not understand that it is suffering which brings us to real spirituality. Real knowledge of the real God. Why? Because God is a sadist and he wants us to be masochists? No! But since Adam and Eve, we inherited something which needs to die. We inherited something which needs to be crucified. Comfort my people. Yes, comfort them. Let me comfort you. Turn back to our portion. You remember how it is named? The name of this portion, come on. Va'etchanan. Deuteronomy 3, by the way. Deuteronomy 3. Va'etchanan. And I pleaded or I begged. Then the rabbis choose Nachamu, Nachamu. Yeah? Comfort, comfort, yeah? Moses needed comfort. How are you doing? You can bear with me for a few more minutes? Moses needed lots of comfort. Why? Why? Come on, tell me. It says here. He just read it. Oh, please, please. Didn't I do enough for you, Abba? Probably, I just imagined, yeah? He begged, please, please, let me just cross. I came all the way from Egypt. I suffered those millions of rebels, you know, of murmuring, you know, complaining people, of your stubborn people. I was a good shepherd to them. You said it. You, God, said, you know, on me that there was no prophet, yeah, like Moses, yeah? Humble and all these good characteristics. Now, why are you so picky, Abba? Let me. Okay, I did something small. Long ago. Why are you so picky? Do you see what I'm talking about? God was very picky on Moses, no? He was very, Rabbi, God was very legalistic. I mean, come on. So I did not speak to the rock. So what? I did just give him a few slaps. No, come on. Turned me to Numbers, to the very event which actually blocked the door of the promised land before Moses. He lost the greatest privilege. Till you turn to Numbers 20, I want to ask you, what was God Leviticus, no wonder I don't find it. Numbers 20. My beloved, let me ask you a question. Well, I forgot the question. But it will come back. Let's see what actually prevented... Oh yeah, thank you, Abba. The question. What was the main purpose, actually the only purpose, the main purpose of bringing... of God bringing his people out of Egypt. Come on, by the way, it's not a rhetorical question. I want you to answer it. Worshipping what? Okay, come on. Worshipping the desert. It's in the scriptures, friends. I'm not... To alleviate the what?
To alleviate the suffering.
To alleviate suffering. Okay. My beloved, what? Okay. My beloved... The only main reason for God bringing his people out of Egypt is to fulfill his promise to the forefathers. His promise to the forefathers had nothing to do with the Torah. Ooh, you forgot that you are standing in a messianic synagogue? No, I did not forget it. The Torah was the means which will protect them. On their way, will point them to the promised land and will protect them in their possession. Land, in the promised land. The Torah is not the God, little g. The Torah is not the object. The Torah is the means. Stone me later on, okay? Wait, be patient with me. Read Paul's writings, okay, Rabbi Shaul. My beloved, and I'm not against the Torah, by God's, God forbid. Beloved, the intention of God, the main reason of him bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt was to bring them closer to him, not to Mount Sinai, closer to him, to Jerusalem, his dwelling place. Come, my children, like your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they traveled this land, this holy land. Come to me. And instead of 11 days journey, it took them about how many? 40 years. Beloved, it took them 40 years in order to kill the old Adamic men, the Egyptian men, the slave mentality men. Are you with me?
Yes.
Beloved, Moses is the very example of this. How many of you can agree with me when I say that Moses and the Torah are almost synonymous? I mean, Moses is the giver of the Torah, right? Moses represents the Torah. Or he's almost the Torah. You understand what I mean? You cannot separate the law of whom? Moses. Moses is a great picture in our portion and in what we are going to read. The Torah cannot lead us into the promised land. The Torah can point us. The Torah needs to be interpreted and applied under Yeshua, Joshua. Only Joshua takes you inside. Moses represents the old man, which is under the Torah because he is a little child and he needs the taskmaster or the teacher. No, daddy wouldn't like it. No, daddy would not like it, I told you. The tutor. And then Joshua, the mature Joshua, takes them in and conquers the land for them. Are you with me?
Yes.
So what prevented Moses, the great Moses, from coming in? Beside the picture that the old man needs to be there, yeah? My friends, look at what did it. in Numbers 20. We are almost done. You know the complaint, grumble, yeah? And here in verse 7, Numbers 27. 20 and verse 7. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the rod. Did you listen carefully? Take the rod. You and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them, you know, for them out of the rock and give, etc., etc. So Moses took the rod. Which rod? From before the Lord. Please do not forget, do not overlook it. As he, God commanded him, which means God commanded him concerning, are you awake? A specific rod. A rod which was before the face of God. We will come back to it. And Moses and Aaron gathered and they assembled together, I am in verse 10, before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with what? His rod. Did you listen? Did you listen? And I ask again, did you listen? God instructs Moses to take the rod, not his, but Aaron's rod. This was the only rod. Check me. Do your homework, please. I checked it. My beloved, he was instructed to take the risen Messiah, the rod which budded just a few chapters before. Symbol of, and the picture of the risen Messiah. You know what I'm talking about, right? Aaron's rod. The new man, the risen Messiah. You know, by the way, did you know that the risen Messiah rose as a new man? Some people did not even recognize him. Remember? He got a new body. Right? Mary did not recognize him. The disciples, okay? Friends, he could change his look. He could go walk through walls, etc., etc. A new man. A spiritual man with body. But pre-sin body. In the garden, like Adam and Eve had before they sinned. You see what I mean? My beloved, so here we have this beautiful picture. He tells him, take not your rod, not the rod that you struck the rock last time. Remember? And if you will read, you don't have time, Exodus 17 or something around there, yeah? My beloved, the first time, the first event with the striking the rock was in the context relating directly to the old generation. Are you with me? In the desert. The old generation which needs to die. The one which came out of Egypt. That's why the rod was Moses' rod, not Aaron's rod. Not the risen high priest rod. Moses' rod. He took it, the same rod that he struck the Nile and turned into blood. And he struck the rock. Crucified him, yeah? But did you know, I'm sure Rabbi told you this, that in our event in Numbers 20, chapter 20, it's a new generation. It's the conquest generation. The old generation died. You cannot put new wine in old skin, old wine skin, right? Beloved, you cannot face Jerusalem and go to phase number 3 in your walk, footsteps of Messiah, using the flesh, the old rod, your own rod, authority, so to speak. Do you see what I mean? You need to take with you the risen Messiah. Symbolically, of course, metaphorically, yeah? You need to hold in your hand Messiah's rod, his authority. And you cannot strike him. You cannot crucify Messiah again and again. The new man needs to speak like a friend. And say, please, I'm in a thirsty and weary land. I'm thirsty walking in a weary land, yeah? Hardships, which are coming to us very soon, my beloved. The only way to conquer those hardships, the only way to make it till the end, because only the one who makes it till the end shall be saved. Not the ones who stay in Caesarea Philippi. Not the ones who stay in the desert. The ones who conquer the promised land. The ones who go with Yeshua all the way to Jerusalem. Are you with me? And if we are to walk with Messiah all the way to Jerusalem, we need to walk with the risen Messiah. Because after all, we are following His footsteps. We cannot use old methods, fleshly methods. Now, when in the third phase of our walk with Yeshua, because we are following Yeshua's footsteps ourselves, not only Israel and unbelieving. Are you with me still? Remember, I started by telling you why Israel in the flesh needs so much comfort, because now, without knowing it, they are turning into the third phase in their Messiah's life. You remember? They are going to be crucified and resurrected. They don't know it, but we know it. And that's why we have the comfort to share with them. Are you still following me? But we cannot comfort anybody if we do not understand the big pictures, the three stages, also of our salvation. We were not saved by sinners, saying, repeating after some pastor, yeah? And then everything went well. No, we need to go through all the process, all the different layers, or all the different, segments of our walk with Yeshua, like the Israelites need. We need to let God kill the old man and leave him behind. And we need to turn our faces like flint toward Jerusalem, holding the rod of Messiah, the risen Messiah, and walk with him, trusting him that he will supply all our needs in this desert life. And in this ascent, steep ascent to Jerusalem. And it will be steep, my beloved. It will be very hard. And we are not going to be snapped away before in a rapture. My beloved, we are going to walk with Israel because we are part of Israel. We are the very heart. We are the spiritual beating up, heart of nation called Israel. And we are to comfort them. We are to walk side by side with the torch of Yeshua, the torch of the salvation, my beloved. We are going to be raised with Messiah if we first let Him kill us. We are not going to be raised if we are going to be to chicken out and say, no. Suffering is not from God. Far be it from you. No, don't speak with me about suffering. This is not part of the salvation. Oh, ho! It's a huge part of the salvation story. Are you with me still? We are turning our faces to Jerusalem those very days. Don't be surprised. Don't be taken by surprise. Don't panic. Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16, was a place where the God Pan, where we have the word panic, comes. Yeah? My beloved, we need to turn our backs to idolatry. We need to stick to our Savior those days. We need to have faith. And Moses, his problem was he did not have faith that only by speaking to a rock it will yield its water. Yeshua said, and here I'm finishing. Yeshua said, when the Son of Man, please get one more concentration. When the Son of Man will come back, will he find faith? He did not speak about will he find people who cast demons in his name, people who heal the sick. Will he find faith on the earth? Faith is believing and trusting even the circumstances. Even everything looks black, and everything will look black. Faith is trusting the risen Messiah and walking with his rod, the resurrected Messiah, and talking to the rock, talking to the mountains by faith. Saying whatever happens, like Daniel's friends in the book of whatever, whether we are burning in fire or not, we will still not worship you, Nebuchadnezzar or Pan. Will Yeshua find faith in this hall when he comes very soon? Now I want to finish with a question. Whom do you say that Yeshua is? Think very carefully, because if you say that he is the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, it means you are going to follow his footsteps all the way to Jerusalem. If you are not ready, don't even say it. Comfort my people. Yes, comfort them. We ourselves need to be, we need those words to comfort us, not to put us under guilt, because we have the risen Messiah with us. He is trustworthy, isn't he? He is worthy of our praise, no? He is worthy of our sacrificial lifestyle for him. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, pen. Get me behind me, desert. Get behind me anything which separates me from crossing the final line, the Jordan. God is good, and God will sustain us. God will be with us in the hardships that are coming before us. But we must understand the big picture, the three stages. We must understand that nothing is... God is not taken by surprise from Ahmadinejad nuke weapon. He's not... Please, let's stop being so stupid. Or so unbelieving people. Because what glorifies and hallows or sanctifies or makes God's name holy is faith. You know what God told Moses? You did not believe in me to hallow my name. Read it. He did not have faith to speak. Do we have the faith? Yes, we have. Because he loved us from before the foundation of the earth. But we need to understand, it is because of lack of knowledge that my people perish. Most of the people do not hear such messages which include suffering with the story of salvation. Please get away from those teachers. You are going to suffer. We are going, hallelujah. And we are going to stand because we have knowledge now. So let's act according, in accordance with our knowledge.